What will the legalization of cannabis do for the underground economy? You're listening to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. And as you can hear, we've got some special intro music for our topic this week. On October the 17th, 2018, Canada legalised recreational cannabis use, which means that now adult Canadians can buy legal pot. And if they want to, they can use a credit card to do it. And that has made a surprising difference to the way the Canadian economy is working. Now, here to tell me about it is Jonathan Ashworth, who, with his co-author Charles Goodhart of the London School of Economics, a CEPR fellow, has written a CEPR discussion paper on the topic. Jonathan, welcome to Vox Talks.
Hello.
We'll get to what you discovered in a minute. Let's keep the audience in suspense. But first, tell us about the change in the law in Canada.
Yes, well, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, his election campaign in 2015, one of the platforms of that was cannabis legalization. And in June last year, he followed up on that promise and announced that cannabis for recreational purposes would be legal as of October the 17th in Canada.
And as I understand it, it's the first developed country to make cannabis for recreational use legal in this way.
Yes, it's the first developed country. Uruguay in South America had done it previously.
I was surprised to find out how many people regularly use cannabis in Canada, and also, by extension, the size of the underground economy.
Yeah, it was very surprising to myself as well. The surveys suggest basically around 15% of Canadians use cannabis, which is exactly the same as the proportion of the population who smoke tobacco. That said, the amount Canadians spend overall on cannabis is still less than tobacco because the proportion smoking tobacco on a daily basis is around double that who smoke cannabis on a daily basis.
How much does that mean the average Canadian household is spending on cannabis every month?
Well, the average spend per household, based on the estimates, would be around $450 Canadian per year. But bear in mind, given it's around 15% of the population doing all the using, the spending in those households is obviously much higher per year.
Yeah, we can't say that every Canadian household spending $450. And now, for obvious reasons, selling cannabis was a cash-only business on the 16th of October 2018. But since the day afterwards, it's now much more of a standard retail model, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. As you can imagine, when it was illegal, for obvious reasons, people paid for cannabis in cash. But I think since it was legalized, one would assume people would pay for it just as they would pay for any other items in the economy. And the numbers show that in Canada, cash purchases now only account for around a third of the volume of all transactions. So one would assume now around two-thirds of the purchases of cannabis will be done by credit cards and whatever type of electronic means.
Presumably as well, the entire supply chain for illegal drugs before legalization was also cash-based. So we're talking about a lot of cash in circulation that's being applied to the delivery of cannabis.
Yeah, I think it's probably fair to say the bulk of the industry beforehand would have been in cash, but not all of it. You know, you'd assume the retail dealers and their wholesalers, that would have all been in cash. And the bulk of producers' payments may have been in cash too, but not necessarily all of them. You can imagine there have been farms which were producing vegetables and fruit, and some of them may have designated, say, 5% of their land to the illegal production of cannabis. And as you can imagine, for them, there would not necessarily be any need for non-amenity in their payments for their inputs, such as water and electricity, because one would assume they were just buying it for their usual operations.
So let's get to the reason why we're talking about cash so much. One of the surprising contradictions in all advanced economies that you bring out in this paper is that even though their populations are using cash for fewer transactions, in general, the amount of cash in circulation has continued to grow, and quite quickly. Why is that?
Yeah, it's a really interesting point, and it's often something that's going under the radar. I think all the time now, when you're looking in the financial press and the newspapers, we keep hearing about cashless society and the death of cash. But it's interesting, we've highlighted in several papers that particularly since the great financial crisis, the proportion of cash in GDP has been surging in most of the advanced economies. We put this down to two key drivers, really. One, falling interest rates, with rates at rock bottom. This has significantly reduced the opportunity cost of holding cash. And also, the other big driver, in our opinion, has been significant growth in the size of the grey economy.
Now, the grey economy, distinguish this, because we're talking about these terms, the grey economy, the black economy, the underground economy. What's the difference between them?
Well, basically, the underground economy is the black economy plus the grey economy. And the black economy is illegal transactions like drug sales, prostitution. The grey economy is what you would call as otherwise legal activities, but which aren't declared to the taxman as people try and avoid paying taxes and things like that.
Right, so previously the trade in cannabis in Canada would have been definitely a black economy transaction.
Yes, definitely.
But now we get to the point, the statistics from Canada that you're reporting show that this growth in the supply of cash is slowing down.
Yes, it was interesting. What you basically saw was in October, there was a sharp monthly fall in cash in circulation of close to 1.5% on the month, which compared with gains of around 0.4% on average in previous Octobers over the last 10 years or so.
That is a remarkable difference. And it's a very surprising sudden drop-off to see this in statistics. Can you be sure that it's down to cannabis?
Well, with these things, you can never be 100% sure. And there's always volatile factors. But it was interesting, if you looked at the weekly data, the big falls in October in cash in circulation occurred in the week before legalization and the week after legalization, which probably supports the view that cannabis legalization was the big driver. Bear in mind, given that Prime Minister Trudeau had announced already in June that legalization would come on October the 17th, one assumes in the week or two beforehand, people probably held off on what would have been otherwise illegal purchases to wait until it was legalized.
So, Jonathan, what's your best guess about how big a squeeze this puts on the black economy? What's the effect just on that economy?
Admittedly, it certainly is a guesstimate. But I think in general, our numbers suggest that legalization could have reduced the size of the underground economy, total underground economy, by about 5%. And the reduction in the black economy would have obviously been much larger.
These things are always a guess, though, aren't they? Because by definition, you can't accurately measure the size of these economies.
Yes, our numbers based on some estimates of the size of the grey economy in Canada, which have come from the statistical authorities, and we've had to make other assumptions as well. So it is a sensible guesstimate.
Is this a permanent reduction in the size of the underground economy, do you think? Or are the dealers that are not using cash anymore for cannabis going to switch to something else, probably illegal, that needs cash?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, I think this is likely to be a permanent reduction in the size of the black economy. Regarding what the dealers would do, I think probably that's one better for the criminologists than me. One interesting point I would point out, the survey data suggests basically in Canada, the cannabis users are the ones that use other drugs as well. Non-cannabis users don't really seem to use other drugs. So clearly there's also the chance that as people have moved away from using illegal means to buy cannabis, they may be less likely to buy other types of drugs as well. So that may further reduce the size of the black economy.
Legalization, as in Canada, is on the agenda in other countries. It's being debated in the US. Other advanced economies are considering it as well. So do you think that Canada's experience is going to be mirrored in other economies? Because if it was, this is huge news for the use of cash and also for the sources of tax revenue if we move more business out of the grey economy.
Yeah, that's a good question. And you've already seen a number of US states legalize cannabis use. States like California are the most populous in the US. And it's looking as though New York may legalize it in 2019. And it looks as though Mexico is also on the verge of potential legalization. So this does look as though it is a trend. And I guess a lot of other countries have now got the beauty of being able to watch how things pan out with the Canadian experiment as well before moving ahead. And bear in mind, you know, a lot of people are talking about the fiscal benefits when it's legalized. And going forward, given high debt levels in advanced countries and the adverse impact on the public finances from demographics and aging, governments everywhere are going to be doing whatever they can to get hold of new sources of finances. So that would generally support the view you get legalization in other countries over coming years and decades.
That's an incentive for policymakers you don't often hear discussed. Jonathan, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The title of the paper's Canadian Legalization of Cannabis Reduces Both Its Cash Usage and the Black Economy. It's by Charles Goodhart and Jonathan Ashworth. And it's DP 13448. There's also a VoxEU column with the same title if you don't have access to the paper. And that's got quite a lot of the detail from the paper and some of the statistics. It's great, this playout music, isn't it? Let's listen to it a little bit more. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. We hope you tune in to Vox Talks every week and turn on the subscription in your podcast platform so you don't drop out of the habit of listening to the most interesting economics research. And as ever, catch up with the archive at www.voxeu.org/vox-talks.